It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, I bring you our in-house draft consultant, Joshua Barnett.
Hello.
Ooh, so we're doing our annual draft special right now. So that's we'll still have everything else. I'm sure by the time you're seeing this, you're also seeing that we're also talking with Aaron. And I believe Pete will be with us this week. But we do want to do our something that we do our draft. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. We like to go through and do a little bit of draft stuff. We're coming in kind of late. We normally like to do this a little earlier. We like to do our big draft thing just before the draft, and the draft is Thursday. We've talked just slightly about it. Aaron hasn't been into it. I'm gonna be honest, Aaron. Josh here. This is one of the less exciting drafts I've seen in a while. I don't know your thoughts.
For us, yes, because it's quarterbacks and receivers, and the Packers don't need either of those.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a lot that I'm just like, I'm not interested. I'm actually not as impressed with some of the quarterbacks of who are going to be first-round quarterbacks. Probably, well, there's a chance there's like six top 15 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I'm not impressed with most of them. There's some there because you are going to have Williams, and he's going to be interesting. He holds the ball a long time.
Yeah, that's
he's going to go to the Bears, where he's going to get killed because he's going to hold the ball a long time. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how some of this falls. Jaden Daniels might be massively overrated. There's a lot of comps to Justin Fields with him.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy, who, I mean, had he not won a national championship, he's like a souped-up Stedman or whatever. What was his name last year? Stedman last year, right, for Georgia?
No, not Stedman.
Stedman's the guy at Auburn who's playing Stedman. But, no, yeah, either the guy out of Georgia everyone was talking up.
Stetson Bennett.
That's Bennett. We talked about Bennett last year on our draft because he's like 50 years old and coming into the NFL and wasn't that good, but played on a great team, and, you know, that was it. So, I don't know. Either way, I don't find it to be that massively exciting, but there's plenty of stuff to talk about and things to look at. We're trying to go deep, you know, like we want to try to see who are the guys who are going to be interesting to look at and, you know, what's going to be around there when the Packers are looking at stuff. And so, yeah, so that's what we're going to do with our first draft here, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll just lay it out on front, too, that you can follow everybody on Twitter. You can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. That's at Blue Sky X and Mastodon. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host on X, at Scotty Johnny on Mastodon, and at J.E. Barnett at Blue Sky. Josh, I know, is at Josh Barn 66 on X, right?
Correct.
Boom. Nailed it. All right. We got all the just kind of frontline stuff out here, so we're going to roll right into everything, and we're going to put it into a segment that we're going to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
So one of the first things that I wanted to say is we wanted to go back over. I listened to our talk from last year. Mm-hmm. And Josh was listening to me do it some, but what we were talking about is like, we first off said, yeah, Lucas Van Ness, probably one of the guys we really want at the top spot. You really wanted Joey Porter Jr. He wasn't there, obviously.
Yeah.
We said he's interesting, high end res, very athletic. He's a monster, just hadn't played a lot of downs. He didn't play a lot of downs for the Packers last year. He looked decent in the spots where he was allowed to play. Just they didn't play him a ton. I don't know what that was, but he looked fine. One of the other things we said is, was it Derek Hall was the guy that everyone's talking about out of Auburn, and we said, Colby Wooden's the guy we're more interested in. And I said, man, it'd be really cool if we could target him in the fourth. and they drafted him in the fourth. So I was just like sitting on this when we nailed it. Sometimes we should mention we nailed it. And I thought he looked pretty good where we said we thought he could play more edge, but could slide inside with his size too and give him some pass rush there. And he did all right. Not the greatest, but he's fine, especially for being a fourth round pick. Got a lot of skill out of him. And then your draft crush, your big guy you wanted was Carl Brooks.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the best rookie defensive linemen. Yeah. He was last year, at least.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He did a great job. Maybe not the best run guy, but does a lot of things very well. Fantastic pass rush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really helped on that rotation up front. So those are things we were really big on. We also said we want Addison over, I'm forgetting who else was in there we were talking about. We want Addison as a guy if he was available. In terms of wide receivers who are going first round, I think it was Smith and Jigba was the other guy we talked about.
Yes,
and Jigba being more athletic, but we thought that Addison had more wiggle and more actual, just kind of production.
Addison could play more outside too, instead of just in the slot.
Yeah, and I think Addison was the better one, but we didn't see Reed. We definitely didn't talk about Jaden Reed.
I did not see him as a second round pick. So I didn't at the time.
So, yeah, we were wrong on that one. We both did say also that the guy we want, well, we both said that we were very interested in Musgrave, but not first round. We won no first round tight end, which we didn't get. And we ended up with a second and a third round tight end. We said Kraft would be the guy we could wait on, but we wanted Laporta in the second. And by the way, Laporta's the guy he wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. He
was the best tight end in the draft. And we said, don't draft Mike Myers. Just don't. And I don't know where he went.
I don't know.
Somebody got him and didn't do anything with him. But Laporta was the guy to get. And that was the guy we really, really wanted out of that group. And I'm trying to think of the other guys we had. Nothing that was too amazing. We went on a couple deep dives that turned into guys who were around in the league. I did say Truman Jones, though.
Yeah.
Truman Jones. Truman Jones was the guy. He went undrafted. Ended up with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
He's not currently on the roster, I believe, though. He did get there as an undrafted, and I don't know. I still think he's an interesting guy for seventh round pick or whatever, and ended up being undrafted. So for a guy out of Harvard, defensive end out of Harvard, who's an interesting dude.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Like we said, top end of this draft, we don't care as much about because we don't have that high a draft pick. We're back in the playoffs. So we're talking, you know, like Joe Alt, is not going to be Roma Dunze, wide receivers, the guys we'd be interested in. I've heard some talk that Fautanu might fall. Troy Fautanu, the tackle from Washington, might fall a little bit, but I don't think he's going to fall as far as us. That would be amazing if he did, because he's really good. The other guy I'm going to talk about is the two tackles that kind of end up maybe close to us would be Olu Fashanu, Penn State. It's Olamuwaya, but it never just says Olu, Olu Fashanu. And then also Amaris Mims out of Georgia.
Yep.
And Mims is interesting. Oh, Guyton is the other guy people are talking about.
From Oklahoma.
Too. Oklahoma is the other guy that have been put in that area of first round tackles that might be in the area where the Packers are picking. I don't know. Do you have a real feeling on any of them in particular, if you had to pick one?
Olu Fashanu is definitely the best pass blocker, I'll say. He came in as a freshman at Penn State and was playing. He was, his run blocking was what needed to be developed. And at Penn State, you know, you assume that run blocking is kind of their main thing. But I think he's probably my favorite of the bunch. I just think his footwork needs a little work, but obviously he gets a little high. But I think of that group, I think he's the best. I think Mims is a good close second, but I really do think Fashanu is the best tackle there at that spot.
Yeah, Mims right in that spot would be interesting. If you get Fashanu, I think he's good. Mims, I do like. Guyton's a guy who gets a lot of play with the Packers here. I'm not as interested in that, but he's a guy who shows up a lot. The other name. Who does show up a lot, and I know you know this one, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, he's the second best Alabama corner.
Yeah, I don't like much about that game he's got. I don't think he's a first-round talent. I think if the Packers got him in the second or third.
I don't think he falls
No, he's not going to fall, no. But that's not something like that's where I think his actual value is.
He's a good man corner. He has no drive to tackle. None.
Yeah, in the NFL, your corners need to tackle. They're going to need to get out there, especially with the amount of now those quick plays to try to get the ball to the edge, the amount of little bubble screens or just kind of quick plays out to the edge there. They're going to need to break those down quickly with those bunch sets and everything, and they're going to need to come off blocks and make tackles at the line of scrimmage. I don't think he does any of that.
No, I think Terrion Arnold is – you watch the tape. Khalid MacKinstry, whenever there's one, he kind of dives. Arnold actually tries to, like, either, like, wrap him up and then break through. Or, mm-hmm. like, if it's just a run play, one of those two corners is in there, and it's always Terrion Arnold.
Yeah. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to do a fun little thing. I didn't warn Josh this. I'm going to show you a couple of the guys in this, like, 10 to 20 range. And which one of them – if you had a chance for one of these guys here that we're looking at, kind of talent-wise, that you would like to see fall, and I'll even scroll up a little bit if he needs to. If you want to see one of them fall, who's the one you wanted to see fall most?
Like what's shown right now?
Yeah, these guys from here through here. So, like, names, just everyone gets it. Things like Rome Odunze out of Washington, Quinion Mitchell, the Toledo cornerback, Fautanu, Troy Fautanu out of Washington, the tackle. So we got two Washington players. Brock Bowers, Georgia tight end. I think he's probably not on your list because we're not looking tight end.
He can play receiver. He's kind of just like a weapon, but no, he's not at the top of my list.
Verse, Latu.
They're both really good edges. Byron Verse Murphy. They're both power edges, what they are.
Byron Murphy, the D tackle.
Okay, I'll give you my top three right now, and I'll lower it. Obviously, Rome Odunze, he's got to be up there.
Okay.
Byron Murphy is second, D-tackle out of Texas. He's so good.
Okay.
And Terrion Arnold.
Really?
Those are my top three. Now, if I have to rank those three in likeliness, or should I just go who I want?
Do you think any of them is likely to get to the Packers?
I think Arnold has a chance. And I think Murphy has a chance. There's no way in my mind Rome Odunze gets past pick 12.
No, yeah, that makes it harder. I don't like the way of going through drafts and saying things like, well, they'll never be there, so let's not talk about them. Let's talk about some of these guys we'd like to see fall. Laiatu Latu is one of those guys. He's an edge guy, but he's probably more projects as a 3-4. Packers, as we know, going to a 4-3 this year.
Yeah.
Jared Verse probably fits into that very well.
Yeah, I think he fits a DN. That's what he played at Albany.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I'd like to see some of that. If it's me, like, Quinion Mitchell is one of those guys I think would be really fun to see fall down. Big physical type quarterback.
Insane athlete.
Yeah, incredible athlete. What do we see? He had a... try to see where we had a couple of things here. Yeah, look, Romo Dunze is 992 Raz. And we had, well, let's go by positions real quick because, yeah, he's
ran like a 4.33 40.
I think he was second overall among cornerbacks in terms of, there it is, his second overall. He has a 9.79 Raz. That's good enough for having his, was it a 4.33 40?
Yep.
A 1.54 10-yard split. He didn't do any of the agility drills though, so that one thing.
Yeah.
Incredible vertical, 38-inch vertical, 10-foot broad. He's 6 feet tall, 195, 20 on the bench.
That's like ideal size. Maybe
a
little bit taller you want, obviously, but 6 foot definitely manages.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot there he can do in that round, but what do you think is the most likely course of action for the Packers here? And I'm going to, well, you give me that one first, then we'll go on some other things here.
Well, I think the most likely thing is, if you've seen it mocked everywhere, is Cooper DeJean to the Packers. I think that's, you've seen that everywhere. I think the second most likely thing is Graham Barton. Yeah. I think he fits. I'm going to throw you off here. I think the next most likely thing is if Byron Murphy's there, Byron Murphy.
Okay. That's interesting with the D tackle. You're saying is an idea of maybe Kenny Clark not going for so long anymore, or that there's somebody else who they'll rotate out of there to try to save money?
I just think that if we were switched to a 4-3, we're going to need two interior guys.
Okay.
More so. And I think if you Carl Brooks in there, you know, give Kenny a break. Is he 28 now? He's so old. No, but I really do think he's really, really good.
Okay. Yeah, I just think that with the position of what we have, then you're drafting depth. I think you can go later on with some of that. I mean, Murphy's really, really good, I think. Cooper DeJean, I think, is clearly the first of those. Graham Barton is interesting. The coolest thing, I surprised you, we put up the Raz today. Graham Barton has the highest Raz in this draft.
It's absurd.
He's a Duke center. He's going to play guard, too, depending on what happens here. Smart kid, good athleticism, obviously. He's the most athletic guy in the draft. Good size. He blocks well, reaches well. I have said several times that I'm generally opposed to ideas of picking interior offensive linemen and running backs early. But sometimes you get those guys. Graham Barton and then Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yes, those are.
They're maybe the only two interior offensive linemen I would want at that spot.
Yes.
There's Cooper DeJean. Those three names right there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else we've kind of talked about who people are putting in that spot. That's really kind of most of the names. It's not all of them. Obviously, Kool-Aid gets put in there. Let's see what else they got there. But yeah, no, those are about the names we've
seen. Fuaga sometimes. Not Fuaga. A lot, not as recently, though.
Yeah, Fuaga and Fashanu sometimes, or Guyton. Guyton mm-hmm. gets put in there a fair amount, too, the tackle we talked about. Of those, I'd really want DeJean first.
Yeah, I think what he offers, being able to play safety, boundary, and slot
he's at
a high level, and he's an insane returner.
And our corners, our safeties have been are rough. We're basically starting over at safety. We went and got McKinney,
mm-hmm.
and that helps bolster it, but we basically are getting rid of the two guys who started games for us like that. We still do have Johnson.
Yeah, but he's already like 25.
Yeah, I mean, we brought him in last year as a guy who we thought was at least somebody who could do some things.
He can rotate in. I have no problems with him playing, but I think DeJean comes in better.
Yeah, he's fine, basically, is what it is. He's a nice guy to be able to bring in, but that's about it there. The guys who would be, I think, more of a reach, and we're looking at this here, like some talk of like Peyton Wilson or Edgerrin Cooper. They're both linebackers. They're both massively athletic linebackers.
They're both really, really athletic.
Peyton Wilson seems a bit undersized. He's 225, 230?
Yeah, Edgerrin Cooper plays 230, 235, I think. They're both
fast, athletic guys. Both of them probably project in a 4-3 as an outside backer. I could see either of them playing the Sam position and being on the strong side coming in there. Edgerrin Cooper's probably better at getting off the block, and he does better in the pass rush. He's a better pass rusher than Peyton Wilson, I'd say. I think both of them are kind of reaches early in the 25 pick, but they would be reasonable selections in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be interesting. We're basically saying Quay is going to take the middle. He's going to be the Mike. Anyone not familiar with what we're saying, Sam is strong side linebacker, Mike is middle, Will is weak. All right, hopefully you have that terminology down there. If we're talking about Quay being there at the mic, we could put Edgerrin Cooper or Peyton Wilson there at the Sam, which means he's most likely on a tight end side and most likely going to be having to come downhill on things, and then letting somebody like Isaiah McDuffie be the Will. Will having to come back and fill on that back end, because most teams are going to run strong side or run to tight end side, and he's going to end up being in pass coverage more frequently. Brady Papinga was the weak. He was the Will in the old 3-4 that they had with Nick Barnett and A.J. Hawk, right? So
you have
those two big guys who can get in that run, another guy who can kind of fill some and maybe do a little coverage on that back end side. But, I mean, these guys are going to have to cover because they're going to likely end up tight end side frequently. Okay, so they're both really good in pass coverage, I'd say, as linebackers.
Yeah, I think that's – Edgerrin Cooper's best thing is pass coverage. He can't.
True.
He cannot really get off. I don't want him reading a play. I don't want actually either of them really being the reader. I hate to say it, but I want Quay reading it. Maybe Quay will get better, you know, maybe. But they're both insanely athletic, and I think they can both cover decently well, especially Edgerrin Cooper. I think Peyton Wilson. I think they're both. They both can fit that outside backer spot. And I mean, who are we to say? I guess, but that's what I'd like.
Yeah, we're looking at some of the other names that I'm seeing get put up here for a couple of the guys that I work with here as well. Adrian Cooper, like we said, Marshawn Nealon out of Western Michigan. He's an edge rusher.
Yep.
Michael Hall Jr., the Ohio State defensive lineman. Austin Booker is also a guy who's interesting, day two prospect. That could be interesting. I don't know. I really am mostly just interested, like we said, in the first round pick. The three names I gave, the two center slash guards, and then Cooper DeJean. I want to add a linebacker because I don't think we have the depth now to be doing, able to do a lot there. Looking at some of the mocks that I've done, I do end up with someone like TJ Tampa, who's a cornerback in that second round.
Iowa State.
Iowa State corner, big physical guy. It's going to be good in the slot, but he's not the fastest. Didn't test the best in terms of his ability to get out there on that. I ended up with him a lot. I've seen a lot of people who really like him, who I really trust. Some other guys I've gone there. One time I reached on Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. Athletic guy, good guy, smart player. He's interesting. Had some reaches there for that. Cameron Kitchens is getting a safety in that second round. If you're saying that Cooper DeJean can play a slot or wherever, and Kitchens can be your box safety to come in and make some plays. Getting him in that second round, the second round pick usually is where I end up with him. And that I think is a decent spot to have him. Yeah. And then Peyton Wilson sometimes in that second round as well. Who are some of the guys you're looking at kind of is your next tier? Guys you didn't want to take a first round swing on, but are hoping are there for you in the second.
I had TJ Tampa in that list, just like you did. So in my previous mock drafts before Combine, I had, before I really delved deep into his tape, I had Tyler Newbin there. And then I really dove into his tape, and I was like, he's a day three guy. he kind of just gets lucky. Like, his stats are good, but, I mean, obviously stats are very misleading. But you looked into it, and you're like, he's there, but he's not the one making the play most of the time, which is, before the draft, he was like a borderline first round, but I don't see him even in the second round now.
Yeah.
You know what makes me mad is Jeremiah Trotter. Anytime I see him to the Packers in the third, that makes me so mad.
Third has at least some value to it. We talked about this last year too. I mean, the draft isn't just about, they say things like best player available or whatever. I mean, which is how you end up with the Falcons being dumb enough to draft a second running back to run for 1,000 yards when they had a running back who did that already. Like, Algiers was fine. They didn't need a running back. They needed a ton of other things.
Yeah.
And they said, but what if we got another running back? Because he's the best available, which is a dumb way to draft. No, it's best value available, which is why frequently you say, like, I don't want a running back the first round. I don't care for the most part, unless they're generational.
Yeah.
Or you got a massively athletic, versatile center. Because then maybe you go interior alignment in that first round. But a lot of times you don't want to do that. I just don't know about going there that early. This guy is not, like, you need a linebacker. This is a terrible draft for linebackers, quite honestly. It's not good. Like, the top end is Cooper and Peyton. And then I know the guy you've been talking second round, and I'm on board with it, is Gray out of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Cedric Gray, right?
Cedric Gray. Yeah. And then I know a guy you like too, Trevin Wallace. I think those two guys are very, I think they'll be good. I think.
Yeah, Wallace, Kentucky, Trevin Wallace, very interesting interior guy. He's got some decent speed and ability there. Thicker guy, too. He's got some strength. Takes on blocks all right. Later round, Trevin Wallace, is a 9.34 RAS. Jordan McGee was another guy, Temple linebacker.
Yeah.
Takes on blocks fairly well. Good size. He's a 9-plus RAS as well. Olufosio, linebacker out of Washington. He's going to go project much lower.
Yeah.
Probably 4th, 5th round. And I've been mocking him pretty much every 5th round or 6th round, somewhere in there. He's going to be interesting. So
he's versatile. it's what he offers.
That's quite honestly why I'd almost rather pass on Cooper and Peyton Wilson, just because I'm like, I would rather go with one of these guys, because I could get Olafosio, or I could get McGee, or I could get Wallace in third through fifth rounds pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about a guy who's going to play your Will, or maybe yeah. you're Sam, and whatever you're doing out there, these guys can do that. I didn't see where we end up with the athleticism for Gray, though. I don't know. Maybe you can look that up while we're talking about other things. But yeah, that's kind of my thought on linebackers, is this isn't really a draft for it. There's some interesting linemen, though, that are going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually get Edefuan Olafosio somewhere around 202, the pick at 202.
Yeah.
But interesting guy out of Washington. He covers well, great athleticism, ability to get to the ball, makes plays. He's good on tape. And has the athleticism to back it up. Like we said last year too, like we say every year, does the athleticism measurement match what you see on the field?
Mm.
Like, you know, that's what you want to see, because athleticism on its own doesn't do much, but that's something interesting there. Middle round guys, interior. If you end up, most of my mocks, I don't get Graham Barton. Mostly he's gone. So I end up looking for guards, third, fourth round.
Mahogany and Haynes are usually there for me.
Mahogany, and of course, Mahogany, he's going to be interesting because he's a BC guy. And
yep.
it's Christian Mahogany, so we could have two Christians.
Yep.
But yeah, no, he's good. I look at him, Zach Zinter.
Michigan.
Michigan, well loved out of Michigan. That guy, yep. They really liked him there. He had the injury, obviously.
Yeah.
Dylan McMahon might be my draft crush for this year. There's a couple guys. He's mm-hmm. in that round, though. He's very good. Started a lot of games. Stays healthy for the most part. Plays center at NC State. Josh, how good are NC State linemen?
The best.
They're so good.
Just randomly. Didn't they have was a first rounder a couple years ago? Went to the
Yeah, and we were talking Seahawks, guys last right? year. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we talked about him last year.
It was Zavala last year.
Yeah, Zavala last year was a guy we really liked, and there's been a couple guys that just they put out
good offensive linemen.
I just want to look this up again. Just the offensive line coach is Garrett, ooh, Tuhague,
yep,
Tujague, Tuhague, I suppose. But yeah, he has made a lot of great offensive linemen. That staff is good. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're feeding those people, everyone needs to take note, because they're doing a great, great job with that offensive line. And he is good. Mm-hmm. His reach is fantastic. One reason why he's dropping, probably, or he not dropping, but staying there in that third, fourth round area, is his anchor could be better.
Yeah, he gets kind of pushed back a little bit too far when they get into him.
Yeah, but I mean, he does eventually anchor, but it would be better if he could anchor sooner. But Dylan McMahon is a guy I've really enjoyed watching. And if we don't get those top two centers, this is the guy I'd like. He can play center or guard, and he's going to be interesting to watch all the way throughout. And I'm going to be very excited about him. Anybody else you're looking at a guard you find any interest in here? Oh, McCormick. Sorry,
yeah, McCormick.
Can't believe I forgot McCormick out of
he's really athletic.
South Dakota State, another South Dakota State kid. So he can just be fit in as like one of the most Packer people, just like
him and Kraft.
Kraft is just out there in the back of trucks smoking a cigarette in boots and a flannel.
He built his own sauna in his basement. How cool is that?
He's the best. He's so much fun. So yeah, those are my big guards. McCormick, good athleticism too. Like measures yeah. really well. I forget where he shows up on everything. We're bouncing around a lot on Raz. And again, if you've heard us before, we've talked about Raz for years. It's massively important. The Packers obviously do care about it. Let's bring this in now, just because Russ Uglum has been on a tear that the Packers have there are several things that are clearly, I guess, measurable limits that they won't go above. Like, they like having wide receivers who are 6 feet tall at least, right?
Yeah.
And they want the receivers, everybody, to be below a seven on their three cone drills. And they like those sorts of measurables. They like high RAS. They like those things. They're like, there are some cutoffs that they won't go for, because they're like, ooh, doesn't hit these things. Russ Uglum, even though the Packers have never mentioned anything like this, says that he believes they have a height limit. The Packers don't want certain players because they're too tall.
I don't know about that.
I mean,
makes sense.
They have a 6'8" tackle, right?
Yeah, Jones. Jones. So maybe he's wrong.
Maybe, but and I think I forget who was pointing this out. It might have been Tyler Brook was probably pointing out that they don't seem to have necessarily a problem with it for guys like, you know, Bakhtiari, because they're guys who will never project inside.
Yeah.
But the Packers definitely love guys who play all over.
Absolutely.
Zach Tom.
Elton
Jenkins. Guys who can play several positions. Sitton played like every position at UCF, which is one of the reasons why they went and got him and put him at guard. He'd played tackle. He'd played center. He'd played everywhere. That's why they liked Sitton out of UCF when they went and got him. The Packers have loved versatile linemen, especially with the way things go in the NFL these days. So I think that's the biggest thing. And I believe it was Tyler Brook, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but he was saying, it's not so much they have a height limit, because they probably don't. They don't seem to, because they routinely draft out of it. But they like versatile guys, and tall guys don't project inside.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But they do have, you know, is it Caleb Jones, right?
He's always going to be a tackle.
That dude's a monster.
He's been on practice squad for 2 years now?
Yeah, he's a man monster.
He hasn't really developed. Crazy.
I don't know. We'll see where he goes from here. But
yeah,
especially with Bakhtiari heading out, we'll see what they do here. Tackle's probably something they'll address at some point. This brings me to, I guess, my deep draft crush. He's flawed. He's flawed, but I think I can fix him.
Say the line, Dad.
It's Frank Crum.
Frank Crum.
He's got he's a guy who I find super interesting. He's a tackle out of Washington, played left tackle. Massive
Wyoming, athlete. Right?
Wyoming, yeah. Did I say something? Not Washington. I'm sorry. Wyoming. I had to say Wyoming. I'm seeing the Cowboy. I'm seeing brown and yellow, and I said the wrong state. No. Wyoming Cowboy. Go Pokes. And he's massively athletic. He has a great kick. He does very well in pass block. Watch his game against Texas. I mean, he holds his own. I don't think he gave up a pressure with Texas.
It might have been against, I think, one or two against Byron Murphy.
Yeah, one or two.
But then he also wins some reps against him. So it's kind of even.
If you're not making him start now, he's fine there. And he does well in the pass block, which is definitely something we're going to rate much higher for the Packers and most of the NFL. But he needs work in his run block.
He ends up on the ground other play run blocking. Every other play, he's on the ground. Most of the time, it's 5 yards downfield.
He'll hit a guy and then drive him a little bit, and then maybe like the guy backs up away from him and he just kind of drops. he's like a giraffe out there running, you know, like a baby giraffe.
He's massive.
So he's got some things he can do better, obviously, in the run game. But as far as what you're looking at here, he's a plus pass blocker, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that too.
He needs to work on his run game. He is, 6'7", 313, I believe, is defined, without looking it up. But I like him as a seventh or a sixth round pick. I think he's an interesting prospect guy who, even if what you're doing is keeping him on your practice squad for a year and then seeing where you are, is definitely worth the value down there.
Look at Bo Melton.
Yeah.
We did with him.
Yeah. I thought we were calling for him a year before the Packers went out and got him off practice squads. But no, this is an interesting guy. And I think that he's somebody people should keep their eye on as somebody in those later rounds. What other tackles are you interested in, especially, I guess, mid to late rounds, if we're saying we're not getting, you know, Olufoshanu, and we're not going to get Fautanu and all those guys. If we're not getting that top-end group there, what are some of the other guys you're looking at? I'm trying to see what other guys I've got here.
1 second. It's
player
out of Yale.
Kieran?
Yep, Kieran.
Magdadjie. Yeah.
No. You watch him at Yale, and you're like, he's the best offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's interesting. I have him on a couple mocks.
Third or fourth round, I think, is where he normally projects.
Yeah, I get him usually around the pick 91 or 126. And by the way, when I mock, just so everybody kind of knows, I don't do the trades. Because
how do you project a trade?
And then I don't know what I'm looking at for where we are, so sometimes it gets a little strange. I did go kind of fun on a couple of these. I went another sixth round pick, Nathan Thomas. Ooh la la.
Nathan Thomas, just because.
I do like Ooh la la, but I mean, he's good. that team is well coached. They've been well coached for the last several years. They've been a 10-plus win team most of the last 5 years. The Cajuns
are good.
They put out some good players. If you're looking late round talent, that's an interesting cat to take a look at. That's my opinion of him, and I think he's interesting. Those are kind of the big ones I've looked at there. Another guy we do need to talk to, we haven't talked about. I think he does play tackle, but we probably project guard. We're looking at Dominic Pooney out of Kansas. Interesting guy. Your thoughts here on that one?
I think he has, that Kansas offense is so insane. Just, they're so well coached. Wisconsin guy, right?
He coached at Whitewater.
Yeah. I like him. I just really don't think he sticks to tackle. I think like his pass blocking is really good.
Yeah, he projects inside.
Yeah. His run block, he's his height. His hands.
Knocking stuff around, he's so excited.
Really love me some Dominic Pooney. But yeah, he's really versatile, like the Packers like, obviously. And he's got good hands, I think. He does let people into his chest sometimes, and then he can drive back a little easy. A little too much, I think, but I think there's a lot to work with there.
That's good. All right. So those are a lot of linemen. Those are the ones people probably aren't thinking as much about, but those are the names that we really liked. That we liked. Like I said, my big ones, Dylan McMahon. If I could see Frank Crum late round, that's going to make me very, very, very excited. But yeah, Pooney is a good guy, but he's probably second, third round pick somewhere.
Yeah, he's going to be a little bit sooner than those other two.
And the others, yeah. So that's interesting. If we get Nathan Thomas, I'm going to be very, just because I love me some Raging Cajuns. Go ooh la la. But yeah, no, it's, we'll see how those ones go. There's a couple things here too. The Packers, I think, are also going to be needing a running back at some point.
Yes.
We're thin, and they're kind of older.
This is not the running back class to do it in either.
No, and I'm looking kind of middle rounds, and oddly, kind of third round, sometimes I get talked into Blake Corum.
He's there. He is there. And
he can pass catch.
I'm mad at him.
He runs a pro-style offense. He's got good vision.
I'll see. He doesn't have top-end speed. Like, when you watch him and Donovan Edwards, you're like, Donovan Edwards is a more explosive back. You watch that, you're like, he's faster. But Blake Corum has really good vision.
Yeah. And almost in the Packers offense, that does matter a ton. Being able to catch the ball and run with the ball is nice. But yeah, the other fun one I get usually like fifth, sixth round.
Garendo.
Former Badger. Louisville. Massive athleticism. He's a track guy. Like he went to Wisconsin, also ran track. Fast, like super fast. And you wish the Badgers would have been able to keep him, but he went off to become the lead rusher at Louisville there and looked really, really good. Justin Strong is, like, just so everyone knows this, is the most athletic of the running backs in this class.
It fits.
He's at Southern Illinois. I don't know about him, though.
I didn't watch him.
I watched him a couple times. What I don't like is he bounces a lot.
Which works at Southern Illinois.
Yeah, I don't think he feels the fit of the offense very well. Which is something that Braylon Allen, too. If anybody's thinking the Packers should draft Braylon Allen, I would dissuade them from that.
Sit behind Josh Jacobs for a year.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let him take over Dylan's spot.
Do you know he's only like 20?
Yeah, that is a GM's dream, though. A 20-year-old running back.
Yeah, he's pretty young. Justin Strong, though, here's the thing. Is like, I don't think he feels the fit. And when I mean that is like, if you really watch football, the offensive line has a plan. Like there's a goal for how they're blocking and where their scheme is. And from the way the defense sets up, the running back should know where he's following. You either are going, you know, off the guard's back, or you're cutting once the pulling guard moves forward, you're cutting off his backside, or I got to get between guard and center. But sometimes you know that they have to hit a thing, or they'll be like, they call a bounce block or cage block, center guard hit, and then guard goes up to the next level, and you got to wait and be patient behind that guard before you take off. Otherwise, you're just going to run into the linebacker before you can allow your lineman to set it up. I don't think he feels any of that. Like, he runs in, gets into a mess, and then loops out to the outside. And it didn't even work against, like Northern Illinois. It didn't work against Northern Illinois. Into Cal, I mean, he's Southern Illinois. He's a FCS guy. massively athletic, but I don't think he has the eyesight for it. Garrendo, not the greatest at that, does have good hands, massive speed. He'd be interesting fifth, sixth round, you know, as a guy. Jalen Wright, though.
Jalen Wright, Tennessee.
He's a guy I think is very interesting. Also one of these high-end guys. In terms of his RAS, he runs a 4.38. He's 210. He's 5'10", 210. Yeah, he's got good explosion. He's got good speed. I think he reads well. I think he, I guess I'm not entirely
well, he doesn't read well. He goes to Tennessee.
Yeah, not books. I don't mean books.
He can't read.
But he's an interesting guy in terms of what he can do athletically. And I think it's reasonable to look at him as somebody who also I think will be available in that fourth round area.
I think there's only one running back who's going to be drafted in the first 50 picks.
Benson, right?
Trey Benson from Florida State. I think he's
the only guy I'd go with in the second round.
He's miles ahead of anyone else in this draft class. He's fast, running a sub 4.4. He's got good vision. I mean, Florida State, they have a decent offensive line, but catches you can well. See you can see him run away from people. You can see him. He
4.39
reads a block well.
1.55 10-yard split. Broad jump is 10'2". Yeah, he's 216. He's 6'2", 216. Little taller.
Checks basically all boxes though.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's interesting. But yeah, those are the kind of guys. I did in at least one mock convince myself to go second round on Benson because I think that's where he's going to go.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I don't want to spend second round. I really don't want to do that. But I mean, like I cringingly said, I think he's the best guy here at this point. But I did it, so we'll see. I only did it once, and I don't regret it. I just, you know, it was interesting. A couple other guys, Tyrone Tracy Jr. out of Purdue.
He's athletic.
Athletic, pass-catching ability.
And he's a return specialist, too.
Yeah, he's got a lot of things that can go on. If he's going to be your third back, and you're going to pick him in the sixth round or fifth round, I think the value's there. You know, like, he's got a lot of upside, and he's, like I said, he's a good pass catcher, so he'll fit in well with the type of offense the Packers need to run with him. The things that Josh Jacobs does well, that's what Tyrone Tracy does well. So,
and Josh Jacobs can catch out of the backfield. Yeah. He just didn't have to. Yeah. So that'll be really interesting seeing that aspect too this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of other names that I've come up with who are interesting. Oh, late round linebacker I didn't mention, Curtis Jacobs, guy I was looking at today. Curtis Jacobs,
yep.
Penn State outside linebacker. He wears number 23. He's 240.
He does not play 240.
He doesn't look 240. He looks thinner than that, but he's like 6'1", 240. Heavy dude. Like he plays all right. The reason he's going to fall is he's not the most physical of linebackers. He plays well. He reads decently well, but he tries to undercut the play.
You know,
like he does get there early, but he doesn't get off blocks as fast as what you might like to see.
But it does work when you have Chap Robinson also disrupting the play.
Yeah.
So it does help him some.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy to look at, though, in what he could be around later on and see him doing. And Penn State, you know, their guys, they don't not know how to play linebacker.
Penn State, they're kind of LBU.
Yeah, so he's an interesting guy to look at there, I think, just because of that. And I'm only looking at him very late. Like, if you have missed all the guys we talked about early, he's a late-round guy who I think is very interesting, and I would be just fine with getting him if you're getting him fifth round, sixth round.
Yeah.
Around the same time you get Olafosio. Mm-hmm. So.
But I think.
Any wide receiver do you think the Packers get at in this one?
So the thing about this receiving class is it is absolutely full of slot receivers. There are maybe five as just X receivers. You have obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Odunze, which, I mean, obviously Packers aren't touching him.
Explain X receiver, X versus
X. You know, so like an X receiver is like a boundary receiver. So think of like just Christian Watson size. So mm-hmm. He's not playing in the slot. He's outside. Like
right.
Like Dobbs does too. You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you have Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. He's massive.
9.9 RAS too.
And then you have the two Florida State receivers. But outside of that, everybody else is 5'8", 5'9", fast. Like, but I guess Tez Walker is the other one.
Yeah, North Carolina.
Yeah, but I don't. There's so many slot guys. But one of them who does stand out to me is Virginia's Malik Washington.
There you go.
5'8", 204, I think. He had 110 catches for 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns on the terrible Virginia team. He was all they had at Virginia. It was him.
I just wanted to pull up my one guy who I'm going to be honest. I drafted him a couple times mostly based on name. Bub Means.
What you Bub Means?
Bub Means. I want that to be his actual like birth name. 4.43 speed. He has a 9.35 RAS. His vertical is a 39.5. He has a 10'2" broad jump. Is 6'1", 212. Out of Pitt.
Solid size.
Yeah, he's got a lot of things you look for. His shuttle isn't particularly great, and he did not do 3-cone, which might hurt him with the Packers because they do like to see that. But he's going to be a super late pick.
Yeah, if at all.
And he could be a guy who shows up a lot like Dontavian Wicks last year. A guy who's going to be there late, who gives you a lot of interesting things and can be available and make his way onto somewhere like that. He's a wing and a prayer, though. He's not as polished as Dontavian Wicks was. But he's got the tools to find his way onto a roster to do something.
And an already kind of packed receiving room.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of room in there for a lot of things there, but some guys could get chased out. We'll see how it goes. Interesting.
I think of right now, there's probably only four or five guys who have a roster spot right now, a receiver. And you think for camp, they're going to take in at least 8 receivers.
Okay.
At least.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Anything, any like parting shots, any last little bit of wisdom you want to make sure everybody has before we go here, Josh?
I don't think so. Just be sure you watch.
It's going to be fun. So that'll be Thursday, day one. And then, we'll move on after that and we'll see day two, three. Should be interesting. Day one will just be the one pick this year. Last year we had the little bit of drama whether or not the Packers would get a second first and all that with the trade and everything coming up. But I don't know. This year we'll just have the draft as it is. All right. All right. Well, thanks for coming on again, Josh. We love having our special in-house consultant.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. So with this one, we'll wrap this up. And whether you listened to this before or after the last one, either way, we're grateful to have you with us. Please follow us on X and Mastodon and Blue Sky. And remember that whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.